welcome to the Picture House podcast, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
So you are the writer and director of the wonderful Ali and Ava, which I was lucky enough to see at the opening night of Cine City in Brighton last year with a sellout crowd, and it just went down so well.
You into music?
Yeah, I like country music, me.
Oh, that's it then. I'll pull up, shall I? No, you must like something else.
I like folk.
Folk, fucking hell, it's getting worse.
I just wonder, like, with films like this, it's so important to see them in the cinema with other people. What do you think?
I would love people to sit in the cinema with other people. Yeah, I mean, it was really fun working with music. It's got a really great soundtrack. And I think in the cinema, they will turn it up loud, and I guess you have that kind of communal experience of everybody feeling those feelings at the same time. And it ends with a banging track. So
absolutely. Yes, I will come to the music, because I need to discuss that as its own character and universe. It's just fabulous. And I also heard the film described as a social realist musical, and I wondered what your thoughts on that might be, and also then if that could segue into your own sort of brief introduction to our listeners about what the film is about.
Yeah, I'd say I like that description of it as a social realist musical. But yeah, both of the characters, both Ali and Ava, are really into music, and you know, in a way, the way they get to know each other is through music. So that meant there was a sort of real opportunity to use music within the film, but it's all diegetic music. And there's a lot of dancing as well. So yeah, that was, it's kind of really integral and was there right from the beginning. And, you know, the film was built through workshops with the actors and with the people who inspired the characters. And music was a really big part of those workshops as we kind of figured out what the film was going to be.
How interesting, because I felt like the film was a years in the making percolation of character, each of them being such full and intricate personalities with incredibly complex lives. So can you tell me where the journey with Ali and Ava began? Because I wondered, were they based on real people or?
It sort of started in two different places at once in a way, because it started with Adil, who I met in 2016. In Toronto, actually. And, you know, we really wanted to work together. I really love Adil. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant actor and an amazing person. So we knew we wanted to do something together. And then there are two people that I got to know through making my previous films, someone called Rio and someone called Moe Hassan. So the characters of Ali and Ava are inspired by those two people who were also very involved in the process of developing the film.
And did they lead those lives? You know, was Hassan a landlord? And I'm sorry, I forget the other person's name.
Rio.
Yes,
they're kind of biographical in a sense, in that Moe was a DJ and is a landlord. He's also an actor. He was in a small part in The Arbor. He's also been in lots of other things. And the tenants in the film are Moe's real tenants. So the Slovakian family are the family that I met when I was spending time with him during the development process. And actually, we did an open casting for the part of Sophia that was originally written as a boy. And we did a sort of street casting. Sophia came in and she was absolutely brilliant. And we didn't know at that point that she was the niece of Moe's tenants and lived two doors down. So there's a lot of sort of crossover of real and fictional, if you see what I mean.
Yes. Definitely get that sense that it all works. It's just knitted so beautifully. And how difficult was, Adil was on board right from the beginning, and I guess he was very involved in developing the script and, like you say, the workshops. And then, so where did Claire Rushbrook come in?
Claire came in later. It was a sort of, in a way, a more conventional casting process with Claire, because by that time we'd got a script and we worked with Shaheen Beg, who cast it, and we looked at a very sort of small selection of people for the part of Ava. And then it was really about how Adil would spark with that other person. And he and Claire just had this brilliant dynamic they did a sort of improvised version of the scene where they're wearing headphones and jumping around on the sofa. And yeah, they sort of made me laugh, made me cry within that session. And then she got very involved with Rio and with her family. And, you know, there's a lot of non-actor kids within her family and on screen. And so she kind of created an on-screen family. You know, she's got real warmth and generosity. And yeah, so kind of really dug in and got involved once we'd cast her.
They did, that, like both of them have such nuance and tenderness. And yeah, I mean, one of my questions was going to be about their incredibly naturalistic performance and contribution to the script. But I suppose with Adil having been so much on board from the beginning and the workshopping, and I guess, would you say that was what brought out that incredible naturalism? Because with music, it's really, really hard to get that just response, if you don't, do you know what I mean? Mm.
I think they're really, really brilliant actors. I think both of them are really brilliant actors. I think, you know, they both made a huge commitment and sort of, I don't know, embedded themselves in completely. And I think they make it look natural. I think we also, you know, could play a bit fast and loose with the script. So then it becomes a sort of structure that you can come back to or veer away from. And, you know, because there's sort of quite a few unpredictable elements within it, like kids and non-actors and, you know, they're sort of really on their toes all the time.
And, I mean, Ali and Ava have such complex, all-consuming family lives that for either of them, it seems like a million to one possibility that they could ever meet and have their own lives. You know, they're so consumed by the people around them. And I loved that music provided that tiny portal of possibility that changed everything. So was that a very specific decision of filmmaking that music would be that device?
I don't know that it was that conscious in that way. It was sort of came out of character, I suppose, and knowing that both of those people were really, music was important to them in one way or another. And yeah, I suppose the pleasure of being able to work with music. And one thing Adil talked about was, which was Joy as an Act of Resistance, which is, I think, the titles of an Idols album. And in some ways, it was really important that him as a joyful person was part of the story. And also, I think music plays, you know, like when he's standing on top of the car and he's raging, I think there's something very... that you don't need to use words in order to express how you feel, I suppose. And that feels like a gift, really.
Yes, and for me, that music is very transcendent, I mean, and very much so in this film, because it provides a connection across boundaries, across, you know, I was very interested, say, for instance, Ava's daughter is dancing to Bangra in the morning, and then Ava sings the Pogues with her son. And there's different nationalities weaving in and out. There's different uses of music. And it means that they didn't have to see, oh, this is Ali, who is the Indian landlord, and this is Ava, who is the white school teacher. It's like, oh, this is, we're just enjoying the music. And I've always loved that about music, is that it doesn't matter who you're next to when you're enjoying it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think music's very unifying in that
way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And in terms of the sort of differences between Ali and Ava, I'd say their obstacles to being together are internal as much as they are external. So I think... the film doesn't shy away from the sort of external social and cultural pressures on them, but they're both a bit stuck in a way, and they're a catalyst for change in each other's lives. I think that's what happens. And also, I hope, I don't know if this is a good thing to say on a thing where people haven't seen it, but I hope the ending gives you this sort of sense of hope and freedom, but it's not totally conclusive about what the future is for them. I mean, what's important, it's set over a lunar month, and what's important is the change that they create for each other within that lunar month, if that makes sense.
It does, yes. And I don't know why I'm struggling in a way to ask to be so specific with the questions, because it's a very emotional, very love-based film, you know, and all the acting in a way is so internal. So for me, the music was kind of like the outside conversation, if you like, and then them transcending what was going on within them to be able to connect. It just because they had such incredibly difficult lives that were completely wound up with other people, to even be able to, no matter what the colour of their skin or the nature of their home circumstances or anything, for them to be able to touch someone else in all that mayhem was just a billion to one. So it was filled with such hope. Does that make sense?
Good to hear. Yeah. I suppose the other thing was that, you know, Moe and Rio are so-called ordinary people, and it felt really important to show how extraordinary so-called ordinary lives are, and to put them on the big screen and have that kind of writ large, and to understand something about that sort of inner landscape or the kinds of pressures that are on people's lives. And I suppose in a way, yes, both of them are incredibly generous and incredibly kind, and I wanted to celebrate that, and very wrapped up in their own neighborhoods and being giving, I suppose, within their neighborhoods. And then they've both got these, you know, they're both a bit lonely as well within that, even though they're surrounded by people all of the time, you know, for different reasons. And without, you know, wanting to give too much away, I guess, for Ali, really, he's still in love with his wife and a bit in denial that she's loves him, but she's no longer in love with him. And I guess for Ava, she's got this complicated history within her own family that she mistakenly thinks, or not mistakenly, in a human way, is sort of protecting her son from the truth about his father. But actually what they need to do is confront it. And in a way, they sort of help each other make an important step forward, really.
Yes. And yes, we don't know what happens in the end. But yeah, that emotional terror that you feel when you do, I would defy anyone, whether you're in royalty or, you know, in the smallest family in Dorset or whatever, confronting one's own family is probably the hardest, most difficult, complex situation to overcome, to actually speak truth to your children or your mother, you know. And you can see that in the efficiency of your filmmaking is just, I was so blown away, like in the first few minutes, I could see exactly who these people were and what was going on and the difficulties in their lives. You know, you really, really told the story incredibly, like I said, efficiently. Can you tell me a bit about that, how you whittled all your scenes down to just the most precise bits of storytelling?
It's lovely to hear. Well, I guess it's a sort of ongoing process from something that's quite big and sprawling in a way, where you have a kind of sense of where you want it to go in the workshops I'm talking about and in all of that development stuff. And I spend a lot of time with people, you know, with Moe and with Rio and also with a guy called Kamal Khan, who, you know, who kind of took me to really specific places in Bradford that he felt it was really important to see on screen. That's not really answering your question, but...
Well, it's all part of it though, isn't it? So in your filmmake ahead, you've got to think, right, I know that's important because that's setting up what people need to know and feel.
I think the other part of the process is then in the edit as well, that you kind of whittle it and take away anything that's unnecessary. And I worked with Maya Mafoli, who's a brilliant editor, I think, and you know, then you sort of rejig things and you go, oh, this bit of material is really brilliant, which was actually Ali dancing on the car, which is all to do with Adil's performance and something very embodied about his deep frustration that I don't think needs to be verbalized. And so that's why that became such a kind of important so important within the final cut, although it was just as one small scene within the script, if you see what I mean. And then, yeah, this, like, quite often with the edit, it's about honing it and taking things away. The other one actually that had dialogue in it that we stripped out was when he dances with, when Ali dances with Runa, which is wordless, but I think it says so much, and it's such a pleasure in a way when actors give you everything you need in the way that they move or the way they behave or what they're feeling within a scene, and then you can take all the scaffolding away in a way and just be with them. So yeah, I think there's a really important part that goes on obviously when you write it then when you're workshopping writing and then on set trying different things out, and then this kind of honing process of editing.
You know, so every single bit of it, I thought it flowed beautifully and was so completely believable. And like with that dancing scene, like you say, when they are seen, it is, even though Claire Rushbrook, I don't want to give away too much, like you say, but witnessing it, you can see what she sees, but you can also see that what's being shown is an act of forgiveness. And I think Ava really knows that. There's something about human energy, which I think you've caught on camera, which is incredible, that we understand, that we pick up on from each other. And even though Claire Rushbrook's character was, Ava was very vulnerable in that moment, very frightened, in her heart, she seemed to know the truth. And just the nature of their dancing, the way they're dancing, is enough of an indication for us as the viewer to see that they're not doing anything that Ava needs to worry about. I don't know. I'm sorry. I think I've probably got lost in my own joy of enjoyment. Cleo, thank you so much for joining us on the Picture House podcast. I think Ali and Ava are two heroes for our time, and I really hope they get seen by everyone, because I've seen it 3 times. I love them so much. Thank you. Good luck. See you soon.
Thank you.